Recommend us to your friends by going to KBOO FM Old Mole Variety Hour. Today's show should be up later by sometime tomorrow or maybe even today. I'm Bill Resnick, our host today. Joe Clement was our engineer. Thanks for listening. Bye.
And it is 1 minute past 10 a.m. You do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned. Coming right up will be Air Cascadia, followed today by Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein. She will be talking with writer William Powers, whose new book, New Slow City, Living Simply in the World's Fastest City, is about a year he spent trying to find nature and joy in the core of speed-driven workaholic Manhattan. And then at 11, it'll be Health Watch with Dr. David Naiman. He speaks today with medical herbalist Leslie Alexander and dental hygienist Linda Strobe-Bruce about how to use safe and effective herbs for optimal oral health. And at 11:30, Health and Healthcare Forum has guest Brian Johnson, who is the outgoing president of the Oregon Public Health Association, and Lila Wickham, who is the incoming president. We also hear from Joyce Goffin, president of the American Public Health Association. And, of course, we want to thank our KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, you can still become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
This song could go on without any end till you realize that your car is not your friend. We're all car addicts, let's just say no. Then those cars will have to go.
Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. We'll transform that old machine into resources for unserved and underserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world. For more information, call 1-877-526-6123. That's 877-KBOO-123. Or go to kboo.fm/vehicle.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, November 17th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Steve Horn with the Smog Blog is back with us today. A huge story about collusion between TransCanada and ERM, a shadowy company which won't remain shadowy much longer. Desmog Blog has just recently broken a huge story on this collective effort to undermine what's left of global environmental protections and stewardship. First, a few headlines. Intervention, anyone? It looks like our friend and family member has gone and got itself deeply addicted to energy at any cost. Addiction does, as they say, destroy lives. Any person seeking to become a party to the proceeding must file a motion to intervene. And this is down in the Jordan Cove. debacle, where it looks like virtually every agency that has any responsibility whatsoever for protecting our coastal waters has gone and crumbled under the Pacific Connector. It is a consortium of companies that are not stopping in their effort to install a terminal at Jordan Cove. So there are a number of meetings coming up. Anyone who can get down there has been taking themselves down there to stand up on behalf of the Citizens Against LNG and other groups that are doing the best that they can to counter the enormous amounts of money and the armies of lawyers that are trying to push this thing through. Simply filing environmental comments will not give you intervener status if you do attempt this, but you do not need intervener status to have your comments considered, so consider that. And a federal law empowers agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to make sure people convicted of domestic violence or those facing restraining orders have relinquished their guns. Ha! Yeah, you think. The problem is that there are only 14 such agents in the entire state of Oregon. The Oregonian reports that the federal law doesn't require states or local police to establish procedures for collecting the firearms. Now, however, advocates working with Oregon's Department of Justice are pressing for a state law that would allow local police and sheriff's offices to make sure people relinquish their arms in domestic violence cases. Then three environmental groups have filed a lawsuit seeking to halt a wolf and coyote hunting, get this, wait for it, derby. That's right. They're turning it into a little festival, a little party. It's set for early January. And so I guess the same people who are having restraining orders taken out against them and are being asked to relinquish their handguns, since they're no longer able to shoot their wives and domestic partners, they can go and shoot instead wolves and coyotes. You see how that works? Wild Earth Guardians, Cascadia Wildlands, and Boulder White Clouds Council filed a lawsuit last late week in federal court in Idaho against the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, and the U.S. Forest Service. The groups contend that the BLM violated environmental laws by issuing Idaho for Wildlife. Idaho for Wildlife. That's the name of the agency that's staging this hoedown. They contend that three environmental groups, actual real environmental groups that are suing, contend the BLM violated environmental laws by issuing Idaho for Wildlife a special use permit to hold the competitive derby on BLM land. That's right, you heard it. They're going to do this on BLM land. So much for management. And we are waiting to hear from Steve Hort, get him on the line in just a moment, from the Denver Post. From the Denver Post comes this story out of Meade, Colorado. One worker was killed and two were seriously injured late last week when a frozen high-pressure water line ruptured at a Weld County oil well site. These workers were trying to thaw the line when the accident happened. The Anadarko Petroleum Corporation was being used in the fracking process by, wait for it, yet again. See, we can't make this stuff up. It was, of course, Halliburton that was ultimately responsible for maintaining these pipelines. And once again, more deaths. The federal government is using many more undercover operations in recent years, but to no one's great surprise, officers from at least, this is lowballing it too, listener, 40 agencies posing as business people, welfare recipients, political protesters, doctors, administrators are all dressed up as to ferret out what they consider wrongdoing, records and interviews, whose are slowly unearthing the extent of the practice. It provides, law enforcement claims it provides anyway, a powerful new evidence gathering tool. Don't forget, they're allowed to lie to you. You lie to them, that's perjury. You go to jail. They lie to you, you believe them, you give them information, then you still go to jail. That's it. That's how it works. It also, though, this raises concerns about civil liberties, and it's very difficult to track and trace these sorts of activities until they actually come to light and are splayed across headlines across the country. And in Louisiana, this is where we are right now with the story coming out of and being published on the Smog blog. In Louisiana, the Landrieu-Cassidy runoff has begun. This is the results of the last midterms. Mary Landrieu and her opponent, the Houston Chronicle energy reporter, calls it the Hail Mary for both of them. That it will take more than a wing and a prayer to reverse the damage that environmental resources management is about to wreak. And this is exactly where Landrieu comes into the picture. These connections run deep here, and the damage too, in fact, runs pretty deep. Environmental resources management is about in collusion again with, of all things, TransCanada, in the far frozen Central Asian steppes, the Kyrgyz ecosphere, this contractor once again finds itself in hot water, but in fact really melting glacier water. TransCanada chose Environmental Resources Management Group, or ERM, as one of its contractors, but not the only one, to conduct the environmental impact statement for Keystone XL. It turns out that this environmental resources management seems to be pretty much everywhere doing the same things. They're signing off on these controversial projects, or projects that should, by all rights and standards, be controversial, if they ever did come to light, and if mainstream media ever did pick up on them. It's not hard to do. These are huge events. These are global events that affect all of our lives. So the only Hail Mary here is mainstream media's avoidance of covering these stories. This group also happens to have green-lighted this gold mining project in Central Asia that is now responsible. And you can go to the Smog blog website and watch these glaciers literally melting before your eyes. Huge pieces of glaciers are breaking off, floating off away. It is already affecting global weather patterns and sea levels. That's where all of this goes. You think, well, geez, you know, this Mary Landrieu runoff thing in Louisiana, what the hell has that got to do with me? Well, that's exactly what it's got to do, because Landrieu and her opponent as well are in bed with these guys. Meanwhile, back in the USA, there is no more vivid example that elections matter than the Keystone XL. And we should be watching carefully, because that is literally in the pipeline. And this week is we're going to find out exactly what President Barack Obama is really made of. Greenpeace has published a striking video on its website. In the vid, you can see Spanish Navy boats ramming the Greenpeace ship, knocking one activist into the water, breaking his leg. This is just another reminder of the length that governments will go to protect the oil industry from peaceful protesters. At stake are two of the Canary Islands. The two, if you want to look it up, is Fuerteventura and Lanzarote, off the coast of Spain. This company, Repsol, has been given a permit to drill there, despite the risks to the ecology. And, in fact, you go a little further and it's smashed up the tourist economy, which is pretty much all they have going there. Greenpeace Spain sided with island locals in opposing the drilling, but their warnings about safety and legal issues have so far been ignored by the Spanish, completely and utterly by the Spanish government. And there's a great deal more going on right now in the crime rates. Let's return to the USA, because that's exactly where much of these issues and incidents arise. In this case, again, to no one's great surprise, in the Bakken oil fields, the native First Nations, indigenous peoples, their lives, which were never easy in the first place, the reservations in the Dakotas have always been hellishly miserable places to exist. And for that matter, this is really Indian land we're talking about here. This is Indian land that Bakken is. And the oil being extracted so far has been benefited native indigenous peoples in no way whatsoever. More on that later. We'll be speaking with someone from Indian Country News this week. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, November 17th, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today for us. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Hi there, this is Rita Christie, host of the Noontime Jamboree on the first and third Monday of each month. Please join me for vintage jazz, country, and western swing. That's on the Noontime Jamboree.